At the state capitol yesterday, Michigan's latest set of revenue estimates were unveiled. It's an important twice-a-year gathering with often serious implications for state government spending and budgets and taxes. And joining us to review the latest numbers and to discuss other state government news, we welcome back the Michigan Public Radio Network State Capitol Bureau Chief Rick Pluta. Hi, Rick.
Hello, Mark.
Remind us why this we call it a CREC gathering, the revenue estimate. What does the first C stand for there?
It is the Consensus Revenue Estimating Conference.
Consensus. Okay.
Yes. Because what happened was a few decades ago, and I've been around long enough to actually remember this, one of the things that we ran into in the budget process was that the House and the Senate and the governor oftentimes could not agree on just how much money we had to spend. And so that just slowed down the budget train. And so what they came up with was this consensus revenue estimating conference. And twice a year, it's, the top ticket activity on that day at the state capitol. Because what they do is they all come in with their numbers and they listen to economic forecasts and revenue forecasts and, just all the things that will act on the economy and therefore on the state's capacity to generate tax revenue. And then they'll put their heads together and basically compromise so that they can agree on a number on how much, on how much money there is to spend. And in 2014, well, in January, it was looking pretty good, $1 billion surplus, baby, and now it's not quite so rosy.
Yeah, who really leads the conference, though? Who gets the attention at this gathering?
The key players are the directors of the House and Senate fiscal agencies, and the House fiscal agency and the Senate fiscal agency are basically nonpartisan units within the legislature, within the House and within the Senate. Think a little bit like the Congressional Budget Office.
Right.
And what they do is they provide advice to lawmakers on budget matters. What are the fiscal implications of legislation that might be passed? And in this case, just how much money do you really have to spend? As well as the state treasurer, because the state treasurer is the person responsible for bringing in the revenue, and the state budget director is sort of an ex officio member of this board as well, and so they're the ones who vote on how much revenue there is after they listen to economists. They pay them to come in from the University of Michigan, from think tanks, to come in and give presentations. It'll last all morning, and it's kind of interesting. If you're up the street from the state capitol, it's sort of a PhD level macro and microeconomics seminar that takes place, and anyone can walk in and listen to it.
Well, you alluded to declining revenue a second ago. Mm-hmm. Tell us more. What have we heard so far?
Yeah, well, Governor Snyder is attributing it primarily to changes in federal tax laws that have sort of upended things. And so instead of having a budget surplus that's in the range of a $1 billion, it looks like we're going to have a lot less. That the Senate Fiscal Agency says it's about $300 million less. I think the specific number is $288 million. And the House Fiscal Agency says it's $400 million less. But it's just that means there's not as much money to work with when it comes to things like coming up with more money to put into roads, infrastructure, and other things that we've been paying attention to.
But, Rick, is that $300 million less than a billion, or are we looking at a deficit here?
We're not looking at a deficit. And the billion was over 3 years. So what it really means is that we're looking at a largely flat budget instead of having a few. And I shouldn't have mixed my numbers on that like that. My apologies. But it basically means that we have more or less a flat budget, maybe a modest increase in revenue. But if you were looking for, big one-time things to do, a tax cut, for example, that's becoming a lot less likely.
Is it too early to ask how the D's and the R's have responded so far, or will that take time?
Well, that'll take time within the budget process. They want to, you know, get that done really, you know, by in about 2 weeks. That their goal is always to have it done, you know, on or near June 1st, because local governments, school districts, community colleges, universities all have fiscal years that begin on July 1st. So that gives them some confidence as they're putting together their budgets as to what they can what they can expect from the state. So inside the budget process, it's going to take a little while for it to play out as they do things like set targets on how much money they want to spend on different areas on the budget, final targets. But certainly, you know, this is also something for politicians to make hay about. So we're seeing Democrats going, see, you know, what Republicans are doing in Lansing, it's not really working as well as they say it is, and Republicans saying, see, you know, even though there's, you know, this blip, it's not really because of anything that we've done, and we're still on a pretty stable path.
Do these estimates tend to be accurate?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that, you know, throughout the year, that even once the budget is done, the budget isn't done, that there's always something in play that's called the supplemental budget. And it's what the legislature and the governor's office do throughout the year to make make adjustments, to deal with some changes, whether revenue has come in a little bit less or a little bit more, or, you know, there's some unforeseen need that's popped up. But, in a good economy, that, you know, the numbers tend to hold up. What we saw, you know, during the lost decade, of course, was that, you know, you just couldn't be pessimistic enough about the economy. And so matter how dark and gloomy they made their estimates, that halfway through the year, they found that there was a deficit, they'd have to cut more, that notices were going out to school districts saying that, you know, we're going to cut the per student foundation allowance for everyone. And, you know, basically, you know, they're walking around the Capitol picking up the, you know, the cushions and the couches looking for quarters, dimes, and nickels. Mm-hmm. That, you know, we seem to be past those days.
Detroit Emergency Manager Kevin Orr has been at the state capitol again the last couple of days. What was this visit about?
So has Mayor Mike Duggan and even some members of the city council, that they are focused on trying to convince the legislature, you know, one, to help Detroit out with a one-time infusion of money to make sure that as part of the bankruptcy restructuring that they don't have to sell off the some of the valuable masterpieces of the Detroit Institute of Arts, but also that pensioners, you know, people who are living on pensions right now, and they don't just live in Detroit, these city pensioners live all across the state, that they won't have to take a big hit on the fixed incomes that they're living on. And they're also trying to, convince the legislature to make some adjustments to the bailout package, to, first of all, have it conform more closely to the settlement agreement that is right now before the bankruptcy court in Detroit. And Mayor Duggan and the city council in particular are interested in some harder, faster rules on what it would take to get the city out from under state oversight post-bankruptcy.
Some number of Democrats say the plan is an overreach. What do they mm-hmm. mean?
Well, it deals with the oversight, that even once the bankruptcy is over, it's not over, that this board has been proposed. It's a lot like what happened in New York City in the 1970s, that will actually have approval over big contracts, that they'll be checking the numbers that the mayor and the city council are using when they're coming up with the budget. And basically, it's kind of the board will sort of act as an emergency manager light, LITE, even after Kevin Orr is done and the bankruptcy is wrapped up. And so what the mayor and the city council want is something that will restore more authority to the elected government of the city of Detroit more quickly.
Can you update the road funding discussion for us? Where is that right now?
Right now, it's actually sort of back behind closed doors that, you know, we know that the House acted on a package, but it was really just part one. And the Senate and the Senate Republican caucus have basically taken up the task of coming up with the bigger number and the real new revenue, which means, you know, the real, you know, means for taxing and collecting fees that will, you know, bring us across the line to that $1.2 billion number that Governor Snyder and the State Department of Transportation says we really need to make sure that Michigan's roads, bridges, and other transportation infrastructure are brought up to par.
Does the now did the number that came in from the revenue estimating conference yesterday, will that impact the road funding debate?
Well, yeah, because it means that especially if you're looking for, you know, one-time fixes, that you just don't have as big a piggy bank to, you know, to raid now for that. So that means that, you know, any revenue solution you come up with that you've got to come up with that much more. That I mean, what happens when you eliminate a surplus like that? It just means that, you know, all of, you know, your the other problems that you're trying to fix become a bit more complicated, because you can't go, well, you know, this side is over here and this side is over here, but we can just, you know, grab into the surplus to make up the difference.
We're talking with the Michigan Public Radio Network State Capitol Bureau Chief Rick Pluta about what's going on at the Capitol here this week. There's quite a bit going on. It's hard to keep track of all the minimum wage proposals being put on the table. There's now at least one in both the House and the Senate, and another is now expected. These are all Republican proposals.
There are three bills that have been introduced, each of them with the idea toward trying to somehow blunt the petition drive that's out there that would initiate a law that would raise Michigan's minimum wage to $10.10 an hour, consistent with what President Obama has called for, consistent with what President Obama has said the federal government will pay, will require federal contractors to pay. And one of the unique things about, you know, the petition drive in Michigan is that it would eventually bring tipped workers who have a much lower minimum wage currently up to that 10-10 an hour rate as well. And so Michigan's restaurant industry in particular is saying that would be a disaster for them. And so, and we could have a vote on it yet today on the Senate Majority Leader Randy Richard bill, one of the ones that you just alluded to, that would actually repeal the current minimum wage law, replace it with a new minimum wage law, all with an eye toward basically, you know, circumventing and rendering null and void the efforts of the petition drive, because the law that they want to go in and tinker with will have practically disappear. There's some question as to whether that'll work, but that is the intent.
We got less than a minute, Rick, but I've got to ask you, how likely is it though that one GOP plan or another will succeed? I mean, they enjoy noticeable majorities in both houses.
The
governor's
thing is,
a Republican.
They will succeed, but it's almost a guarantee that the petition drive will turn in their signatures, which means that there will be a fight about whether that question gets put before the legislature for them to vote on or ignore and let it go to the ballot. But there will be a vote on one or more minimum wage bills in the Michigan legislature and probably pretty quickly.
Excellent. Keep an eye on it for us. We appreciate it. Michigan Public Radio Network's Rick Pluta is the State Capitol Bureau Chief. Thank you, Rick.
Oh, my pleasure.